101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good night, and welcome to The Doctors, and with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining me for another interesting show this evening on Guardian Radio 96.9 for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society, things that are important for us and help our life to go around and how they relate to our health. Tonight brought to you, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health needs. We are a family medicine clinic. We're located in the Bahamas Heart Center on Collins Avenue. So if you're looking for a family doctor, we've got doctors there. If you want to check us out or if you want to sign up for NHI, just give us a call, 326-1521 or 429-4880. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, of course. And you can just look it up, Medical Concierge Services or Medical_Concierge_Services on Instagram. And so we do a lot of family medicine there, and we also do home care services, IV vitamins, and MD pen needling. So a variety of things. So check out our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. If you want to find out more information, you want to know how to book an appointment, you can check out all that information there. So thank you for being here tonight. We're on Guardian. The numbers on Guardian Radio are 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We're also on guardiantalkradio.com. And so I want to finish off what we were talking about last week. We had a really interesting topic where we talked about freedom versus health and the importance of freedom versus health. We looked at a really interesting article by a well-known psychiatrist that looked at that paradigm. And then we kind of shifted to something more locally. We got quite a few calls, so we didn't get to finish our local article. So we will do that. And then we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about some interesting things that I think going into the new year, things that you can look at and research that are going to be helpful in your life in terms of helping with inflammation and immune system. So we're going to do that kind of in the second half of the show, where we're going to look at some of those things that are kind of a little out the box that I think are extremely helpful things that I use in my life as well.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Okay, good night. And we're back on the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Dinotha Archer, family medicine specialist. And we're just going over, finishing off the article that we were going to get started on, that we started last week. And then we're going to get into some interesting conversations about a few things that I think are really good for health maintenance, immune system building. So we were talking about that article by Sharon Turner, that was in The Guardian about a week or two ago. And we had begun the article just kind of discussing what happened during the pandemic and what freedoms were kind of focused on. And it talks about the freedom of expression, movement, protection, protection from arbitrary arrests, detention, freedom of consciousness, which we generally view as the freedom of religion, and specifically looking at the freedom of thought and how to hold and express one's opinion, which I think was quite under attack during a lot of what was happening. She tapped into what was happening in Canada. And if you guys are paying attention, people are fighting for their rights in Canada. They're fighting against mandates and different things that are affecting their health and the way that they conduct their business. And so there is quite a lot going on in Canada. And it's really interesting to me because I did my undergrad in Canada and it was a very liberal place even when I was in school there. But liberal in the sense is that you can say and express what you want, you can kind of be who you want to be. And so it's very interesting to see that kind of the far left has almost turned on itself in terms of what liberalism means. And so those people are fighting for their rights, and they recently induced emergency orders there to kind of stop protesters from doing what they're doing. So everyone's kind of watching that situation. It talks about how the pandemic and the global watch groups and this rise of authoritarian rule and restrictions and this whole press on freedom and how governments adopted this across the world in terms of its emergency and suspending our constitutional rights, the rights that protect us. They protect us and allow us to decide what's right for our health, what's right for our bodies, what we want to do with ourselves. And fear basically became a weapon in this whole COVID situation. So using our fears against us allowed a lot of power to be taken from us. And there was a kind of a blurring of this response to the actual illness that we were facing versus autocracy, and that all became extremely blurred. So we did have this problem with this illness, with this virus that was new, and we were all anxious about it. But somehow further along in there, that power structure came more about the power over individuals rather than just fighting the COVID itself. The article then goes into how this affected us here in the Bahamas in relations to emergency regulations, which were drafted by the former administration and subsequently amended later on, and how this idea, and of those of you who have been listening and carrying on with this ideas of fake news and misinformation and all this stuff, all these make-believe things just became very prominent way of suppressing basically people expressing themselves. So you want someone's point of view to not be important, you call it fake news, you dismiss it. A very kind of arrogant way of going about things without looking at the facts or anything like that. People in authority almost became the proprietors of all things that were supposed to be truth. And that's a scary thing. So she talks about the stunning and dangerous attempt to override one's fundamental rights of freedom of expression and how many Bahamians kind of missed that. It just kind of went over our heads because we were so focused on what was going on that we weren't really paying attention to what was happening in our parliament in terms of the response to COVID. Our constitutional rights as Bahamians to return home from abroad were violated. Emergency laws gave police power to stop and search individuals, a power that was often intrusive with roadblocks. I know nobody enjoyed those. As someone who was I would say they don't deem doctors essential workers, but when in times of crisis, we are essential workers. So I was going to work just about every day. And so I had to deal with the roadblocks and all of that stuff like that. And it was kind of just really kind of crazy. Restrictions made it illegal for it to be outside of one's home, whether or not an individual is infected with COVID or not. So this idea that people are almost infectious without even having the disease is like you're infected and until proven otherwise. And I think that was a very scaremongering approach that really messed with the psyche of a lot of Bahamians and how they looked at the COVID epidemic. Constitutionally, the Bahamas is governed by the cabinet and not a prime minister, the article talks about. However, the cabinet governance was set on its head when there was this kind of emergency and one rule, kind of one person ruling. Many Bahamians might have thought that just by removing one administration, that they wouldn't have to worry about these things again. But all of us know that a lot of those rules and regulations move from emergency orders into the Medical and Safety Act, in which instead of you have maybe this one person who acts as a competent authority, that was given over to the Ministry of Health. And so you still have a lot of those things being dictated outside of the cabinet, which is where we expect our rules and regulations to occur. And so you have a small sect of people who were not elected basically making that power, with the minister being the ultimate person in charge. And is that something that we are comfortable with? I don't think we ever had a discussion about it. I've done some talks about what's inside the Medical and Safety Act. You can go back on our Facebook page and take a look at that. I thoroughly go through that in two different shows about what happens and what's in that act. And it allows you to see some of the things that you're seeing now about who gets to decide what and why a lot of restrictions are kind of silently still in place. The discussion in the article goes on to then talk about how we have to look at the broader picture in all of this, that it's not just about COVID and some authoritarian rule within that particular time period, but that the protracted suspension of the constitutional rights not only could have affected Bahamians into believing that such things ought to be the norm, but desensitized Bahamians to their rights and the imperative to protect them. And that could incentivize future governments to utilize states of emergency for their political benefit. This had been the first time that a state emergency had been called, and it was because of a health crisis. And so that any government that issued a proclamation of emergency is a creature of instruction, and once government decides it wants a state of emergency declared, for what it determines is an emergency, the same will be declared. From the article. So FAIR was a way of causing people to surrender what belongs to them, believing that doing so would guarantee their safety. And we saw this all around the world, basically. She goes into the perspective of now the opposition and current leader and the amendments that we talked about, not only to dropping some of the things from the Emergency Act, but then putting it into the new act. And the whole concept of, is it an abuse of power? And is this something that we should look at in the future? And, you know, do we need to tweak that Emergency Act? The article speaks to what they do in Barbados, in the sense that with their Emergency Act, the power goes to the cabinet. They're allowed to kind of come together and make decisions. It's not one particular person or one particular group outside of cabinet. And so that might be something interesting for us to look at, because we never know when something like that will happen again. I don't think that we ever thought we have to use an emergency act, and not for a pandemic in the way that it was wielded. And so this is a really, really interesting thing. The last parts of the article goes into just vigilance and what does that look like? So what do we as Bahamian people need to be thinking about and doing so that this never happens again? She writes, Bahamians cannot effectively fight to protect rights they know or understand little to nothing about. And this is one of the key points that came up in our discussion last week was that how well do we know our rights? How well do we know our Constitution? And because these things kind of fall into so many aspects of our lifestyle, who would have thought that we would have to be well versed in our rights in the Constitution to protect our own health and what we want to do with our bodies in the sense, but this is what we've seen across the world. So you should be vigilant to kind of get more interested in the laws of your country, the Constitution of your country, and the rights before you, so that you can protect all aspects of your rights. We've taken the position in this article that freedom is not free, and adopt the view of philosopher Albert Hubbard that responsibility is the price of freedom. So we need to be responsible citizens, as I like to say. I always like to talk about the responsible citizen. So the responsible citizen does not just sit at home and just let every and anything happen. They try to keep up what's going on. They have a voice. You know, they have a meaningful contribution to their society and their country. And this is how we have a healthy democracy where we don't have infringement on our rights and we don't have infringements on our health. Bahamians should make the time and search out what matters to them. And if the rights and freedoms of Bahamians are to be protected today and beyond, Bahamians must take personal responsibility in becoming knowledgeable about their rights and freedoms. The internet gives us access to that. And of course, we have to pay the price with our own responsibility. Okay, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, go ahead.
I just want to thank you for standing up for not just the Bahamas, but for Florida and New York. You know, like how you stand up against the enemy's plan. And I want to tell your boy to 52. Who always called you, like, at least he never fall off. He never fall off as it relates to COVID-19. And I like how you approach your show. But I called you just saying, well, as it relates to where we at, mental health and freedom, I want you to be fair that ever since we put the F and M out of power, we get rid of them. This government, Dr. Darville, even though I always listen to you every Tuesday, and you said, you always say that as if the emergency order is still in place. You have to be real, Dr. Archer. That right. You have to be real.
No, I didn't say the emergency orders are still in place. I said we have a medical... a safety act, which still has a lot of restrictions in place. Yes. So, I'm saying quite a few of the restrictions and the powers that were in the emergency order are now inside the medical and safety act. Okay. So things like there's still things in there that are like mandates, vaccine mandates, restrictions on time. You know, those types of things, that power is still there. It's kind of like dormant, but we actually place them into law.
But it's not enforced.
I am very cautious of
it's
that.
It's not enforced.
Well,
it's
one thing to say that because a lot of things aren't enforced in the Bahamas, but they're on the books and if they need to be used because there are penalties, jail time related to certain things that are still there. And so I don't like the backdrop of those things being present. You know, I think it plays into what I call the soft depression. Bahamians are very comfortable.
I was listening to you saying like you've been in the United States. When you said you've been in the United States and everyone's moving freely, but downtown, you don't have to wear no mask. You can walk downtown freely. Well, it's not like totally enforced as it was under your administration.
I totally agree, and I think it's better. But this is the point about being vigilant. And I, because we're all kind of comfortable with where things are, but a lot of the rules and laws are still there, right? So if you were not following a particular protocol, like wearing your mask, if a police officer came up to you, or a medical officer, as it is in the act, you can actually get like a fine or jail time. It's there. You know, I mean, it's not a good thing for a country to say, well, they're not enforcing the rules. At what point do we now look at where these rules are a bit of an overreach? So what I'm saying is, and I think it's great that we've kind of moved away from that hardcore enforcement. I think that was out of control. I think we are much more comfortable where we are right now. But we do have to be vigilant, and we have to realize that a lot of those kind of restrictions were just kind of put into that and actually put into a law and not an emergency order that ends. Okay, caller. So, and I don't want anybody to feel like I'm coming down on this particular government or anything like that, because I think that plan was in place from the prior government, and they kind of followed through with that. But I would like to see that kind of fall away and be removed completely. That would make me kind of very comfortable in the sense that, because a lot of those restrictions to me are very discriminatory. And I think at this point, with all of the information that we have, it's time for us to take a different approach. And it's to change a law, you would have to go back through Parliament to get it done. So it's not like it just ends or someone says, we're not doing this anymore. It actually has to be brought back up. So I'm not completely comfortable with that. I hope we kind of move that away. So I'm a person who's very about what's there and what's not there. I prefer not to bend those rules. I prefer those rules to be removed. So that's just my suggestion. All right. And so that is the point that I really wanted to make as we end with this article, is that we have to be vigilant. We have to continue to watch, because those restrictions are still looming in the background. There's still a lot of power, I feel, in the wrong place. And we have to be consistent as Bahamians, knowing our rights and what's happening in our country with that going on. And so the price of freedom is responsibility. We all take on the responsibility to know and understand this, because we have to just be that way. All right. So caller, I hope you understand what I mean by that. Yes, I do think it's a lot better. And I think there's been a lot of calm since we moved out of those emergency orders, because we had really gotten to some extremes in that, which were extremely unnecessary. The other point that she makes in the article, she talks about people's intolerance of each other and each other's views, and how this has played out not just in our circles and society, but also on social media, and the toxicity that has come out of all of this. And I think it's a time for us to kind of put some of that away. People got very heated about COVID issues, and it's kind of time for us all to kind of put away that toxic way. I don't know why. I think because we are close to America, so some of their polarization or political stuff kind of comes over here, left and right. But there was a lot of that. And we have to be tolerant of others, and that's how we learn. We learn by hearing what another person has to say. And I think if you are interested in a scientific approach, you have to be open-minded to what another individual has to say. You have to listen to facts, different evidence. And so to move away from that is actually moving away from a very progressive way of doing things. And so we can't just do that sometimes. And I know it's hard as human nature, you know, we like it. And I'm a person who usually thinks I'm right as well. So I'm quite a debater, but I've always been a person to, you know, to let that just be it. Let's debate and let's do, you know, talk about it and see where we go. And I feel that we all have to work on that. But there was a lot of fear during that time. And I think it was a very strenuous time for everybody. And so we don't want to have that type of thing, and you don't want to have victimization because of your expression of thoughts and speaking the truth, you know? So victimization for those things, I think, was on the backs of a lot of people and even professionals of not being able to completely express themselves. And so the article goes into looking at journalism and how people should do more research and, you know, sticking to the ethical aspects of journalism and being able to kind of appreciate the foundation of our nation and where we're going. I'll just read the last sentence of it before we take a break. And those, it states, those intangibles are freedoms upon which there is no price tag that can be set, but without a better and more Bahamas is an impossible aspiration. So we have to do these things. We have to solidify our foundation as a nation, and we have to be good citizens that are vigilant in everything, and so that we're never in that place again. So I thought that was a good way to kind of end off that whole segment on freedom and how important it is, and tying in our original article last week where we talked about how freedom trumps health in a sense, because we do not have dignity and the health that we deserve if we do not have freedom. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about some things that I think are going to be essential for this upcoming year when we talk about immunity and health. So we'll be right back with the doctors and with me, Dr. D. Archer.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the train them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You doing something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them children, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing. But silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me.
I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Yeah, so we're coming back. Okay, welcome back to The Doctor's In with me, Dr. Didilthor Archer. So we're kind of putting down freedom and social talk. I hope that was interesting for you guys. And I'm actually very, very positive on our future and us getting out of this very, very soon. So I like that the numbers of COVID are going down really nicely, and there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just going to talk about three kind of really interesting, well, it's kind of four things that are kind of in my repertoire, which may not be kind of a mainstream thing for health, but I think are very beneficial to kind of keep somewhere. I'm going to talk about frankincense and myrrh oil. That's really good, especially with a lot of people who have rheumatoid or arthritis in general. Talk briefly just about eight just really great benefits of it, and then kind of the science behind it a little bit. Because when you think about these things, this is really, really old school medicine there. The benefits of frankincense and myrrh and used as a synergistic blend for a lot of my arthritic patients who complaining it's very cold now and they're having, I do kind of tell them that this is really good. And so it goes back 5,000 years. These were the medicines in the day of, I guess, Jesus. You hear that he was gifted frankincense and myrrh. It was a very, very important, very expensive oil in those days. And so it has a very rich history, and it goes back to the Egyptians, which used it in their temples. And like I said, was given to baby Jesus. So by blending the two together, there are multiple benefits that people can get. So frankincense and myrrh oil actually promotes restful sleep. So it helps you to sleep well by removing tension from your body. It helps you body and mind. And it helps you to get a good night's rest. So take two or three of the drops of that blend and you add it to just a simple carrier oil, and you can massage it into your skin before bedtime. It eases anxiety and stress. And it's great for people who have daily stress. So if you are dealt with daily stress, grief or sadness, or constant pressure, it's really, really great to bring peace of mind. It also helps with pain relief. And like I said, a lot of my osteoarthritic patients, we incorporate that into their therapy, packed with analgesics and anti-inflammatory properties. Frankincense and myrrh can help relax muscles, and it also eases nerve pain. So if you're suffering from pain, you may be doing a lot of tablets and, you know, it's giving you someone, you want something else you can try other than the usual rubs. This is something that I do kind of incorporate with some of my patients. So we do use that. So it's good if you're just into prayer meditation, of course. It's good for your skincare routine. It's said to contribute to really like glowing, really nice skin. It helps with sun damage and spots. And so you can add it to your moisturizer. And it's really good respiratory aid and immune booster, and you can benefit from that. So it aids in illness and breathing. So a lot of people who are also recovering from COVID still have little breathing issues. This may be a great essential oil to add to your regimen. And so it's really good because it has a lot of antimicrobial properties. So this is a really, really good oil mixture. It soothes irritated skin. So those days they can use it on rashes, bug bites, eczema, because of its anti-inflammatory properties. And it's very soothing for the skin. And it's easy to just apply on any kind of spot or area that you may be having. And it's just a great aroma. If you smelt it, it's really kind of strong and earthy smelling. So it's a really nice scent. And so people really like it. And so you can use it for a lot of oils. Just a little bit of the science behind all of that. There have been articles written in different publications on frankincense and myrrh oil suppressing inflammation in regards to metabolic profiling and affecting different what we call signal pathways. So there's actually science that's behind it. It's not just old wives or tradition. There are recently found it to be an effective treatment of inflammatory diseases. But it's just the therapy mechanisms are lacking, and that's what I tend to teach my patients, how to use it, how to incorporate it into what they're doing. And so they a study actually that was printed in Scientific Reports, Nature Research, looked at and evaluated the effects of it in arthritis. They looked at that in animals, and they kind of explored the different pathways in which frankincense and myrrh oil worked and how it actually affected the expression of cytokines, which is something that happens when your body gains inflammation. So when you have these ailments and how your body responds, the can affect some of those pathways and leads to some bioactive cytokine constriction that then affects pain itself. So really, really good. Talked about it in rheumatoid arthritis and a lot of other inflammatory problems. And it can be considered one of your first line therapies in rheumatoid arthritis for the alleviation of inflammation, pain, and joint damage, as well as by using corticosteroids. So like an adjunct therapy to whatever you're doing, not a primary one, but something that you can add on helpful. And with the weather right now, with a bit of cold weather, there are a lot of patients that are coming in that are suffering from osteoarthritis, suffering from their rheumatoid pain. And this is really, really helpful. You can sleep in it or rub it onto the areas you like. And I find it to be extremely, extremely helpful. Now, something I found explicitly important, especially during COVID, was vitamin C, of course. Very, very great antioxidant, very, very strong in the body's natural defense. And one of the things that I definitely incorporated in building my immune system, it definitely works in the protection of cells against harm, against molecular damage, and against free radicals. And those are the things that accumulate and can promote oxidative stress in our body. And this is what is really linked to chronic disease. So chronic disease usually comes over time and time of inflammation because of the things that we do, things in our body. But we also saw those similar pathways being stimulated in COVID and even post-COVID syndromes and even persons who had issues with vaccination. So you want to look at vitamin C as a really good anti-inflammatory for those issues and fighting free radical and oxidative stress. And it can reduce risk of chronic diseases as well as heart disease. So this is just something that always, of course, you know, I believe in the IV vitamins because I'm not a person who likes to take vitamins every single day. So I do higher doses of IV. Vitamins, therapy, and then I'm going to talk about what I like to put with it and what is extremely important. Vitamin C is also really good for those of you of high blood pressure, great for managing that. And high blood pressure is something that a lot of Bahamians struggle with, how to get their blood pressure down. And sometimes there's a lot of nutritional things that go along with this. One thing I was also supposed to mention is quite a few studies found that persons who were very low, who were on the lower side of their vitamin C levels, there were studies that were done on in-hospital patients. Those were the ones that didn't do as well with COVID, who had lower levels of vitamin C. And so that was a part of the reason why that became a treatment therapy in some places. Even in New York, they used some high-dose vitamin C on their patients in hospital. So that was looked at and studied very early on in the pandemic. So vitamin C helps with the heart, we said, helps to basically relax the blood vessels, helps to bring the blood pressure down. Not a lot of people are vitamin C deficient, but what we found is with higher doses of vitamin C, we get a different profile of results. And so you can take it orally, of course, like we talked about, as a supplement, And of course, you can also do your IV boosting via, you know, IV medication, not as a medication, but just IV supplementation. And so research has found that vitamin C supplements reduce systolic pressure, which is the pressure on the top. So if you're hypertensive or if you have high blood pressure, you know, there's two numbers that you look at. And the first one is the systolic, which is on the top. And vitamin C supplementation actually decreased that pressure by almost 5 on the top and about 2 on the bottom on average. So it's a little bit of a help, and it's for those who just want to bring it down. And like I said, these are adjuvants or just a part of a regimen to help you as much as you can, because I do believe in reducing medication as much as it can be reduced, and what we can do via lifestyle, via more healthy ways of management, will keep you on no medication or minimal medication. So when you have these problems, you really have to address them early, because there are some lifestyle adjustments that can basically help you quite a bit. So it lowers your risk of heart disease. Many factors increase the risk of heart disease, including high blood pressure, having increased cholesterol, like your triglycerides and your LDL, and all your bad cholesterols. And vitamin C helps to reduce this risk factors and may reduce heart disease overall. For example, an analysis of 9 different studies combined 293,172 participants and found that after 10 years, people who took at least 700 milligrams of vitamin C daily had a 25% lower risk of heart disease than those who did not take the supplementation. So really, really good information there to help you incorporate vitamin C into your diet. But the only problem with that is that, is it just vitamin C or people with a healthier lifestyle? And that's where I talk about balance. I don't think it's one thing or another, but if you have an overall healthy approach to your life, of course, you're going to get these type of benefits. So vitamin C may also reduce blood uric acid levels and help to prevent gout. So if you're a person who suffers from gout, vitamin C may be a great way of supplementing your allopurinol or whatever medication you may be on. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good night, Dr. Z.
How you doing, guy?
Yeah, I'm going crazy, but I haven't gone as yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a joke. Listen, man, you know, you see why I call you the doctor of truth, right? You want me to tell you why?
Go ahead.
I read so much, right? You know, I have a bunch of unconscious knowledge, and so I don't even want to be too long tonight, because you getting up early, right? And the thing is, in listening to you talk about essential oils and homeopathic and natural remedies, right? What came to mind is something I'd mentioned about half a dozen times on the radio, called Autocrats of the Money by the Abraham Flexner Report, written by Martin Bormann, I think, Times article 1940. And it goes into great detail about how the Rockefellers intervened as far as medical studies. And if it didn't include allopathic medicine, then they didn't fund it, right? So they outlawed all natural remedies. This was done back, I think, in the 40s or 30s. And so the report is written in 1940. So this is an ongoing process to exclude all natural forms of healing, homeopathic remedies, essential oils, massage, etc. You know what I mean, Dr. D. So this is the manipulation of the science. And then I would like for you, can I read a letter out aloud next week that I wrote to the WHO chief and as a comment? Because she was asked some questions about the origins of the virus, and just the pandemic status in all. And she was taking and answering questions. And so I sent a comment, and I started with saying I thought it was very biased, but I agreed. One thing she said that I thought is very, very important, and I love her for this, because this is the reason why I do this. She said that the public to be educated more on the literature of the science instead of just listening to science. And I thought it was an integral, but very, very, very sincere of her. But one of the things I noticed, I want to get in quickly, because she referred to the zoonotic jump. And so most people, to the lay, that would exclude the involvement of man in the transmission of the virus. But what most people don't understand, biological weapons program, in which, let me show them how easy it is to start a pandemic or an outbreak. I could grab a healthy mosquitoes, infect them, and then let them go amongst healthy mosquitoes. I could grab a healthy rodent, infect them, and let them go amongst healthy rodents. And likewise with any mammal, monkey, any mammal that comes in contact with humans. So this is what Hitler had, this technology from the 40s. His famous weaponeers were Dr. Eric Schrau and Ahmed Van Verschuur. So these are the type of things that I know. So when I hear zoonotic jump, they've been lying on zoonotic jumps for a while now. So the thing is, it doesn't mean anything to me because I know the vector, how you can use it. You have viral vectors, bacterial vectors. So, you know, the thing is, I'm vexed because what I'm realizing is I would like to be known for what she's trying to do. Educate the public more so they can make informed decisions instead of man-made decisions. And I heard you mention the emergency powers, et cetera. Dr. D, you know why I said, it's just a little joke, I'm going crazy. But the thing is, you see what's going on in Canada right now, right?
Yeah, I spoke about that earlier.
That's Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an egocentric fool, man. Listen, I look at this situation right now as far as panopticism, capital surveillance. I said that they would be using the cyber attacks as a new threat to create a common global threat. Now they're saying the hackers have hacked the GoFundMe accounts for the truckers, right? Mm. You saw that?
Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, I was wondering how come this happened all of a sudden. You have to be able to juxtapose. Then I saw where he's threatening to freeze the accounts of the truckers, right? But then you have people like, I didn't even call this, come on and make it look like... See, the thing is, most people are just limited in their education. I'm not knocking people for being educated and professional, but you don't lean on your own misunderstanding. Sometimes you have to be real and keep it real. You have to understand that a well-read person like me, I don't know everything, you know, but what I do is I have common sense. There are advantages and disadvantages to everything. So why is it that you believe, not you in particular, anyone who believes that they're educated enough to make someone gaslight or just feel like they are inferior to you and you could think better than them? There are advantages and disadvantages to most everything in life. There is a disadvantage to digitalization and digitizing the whole world. I saw Dr. D, they even will hook up the female private parts to the internet and the cloud so they could tell fertility and all kinds of stuff. That's just a joke. When are these jokers going to stop? I'd be glad when they leave. See, I know what's coming, you know. The fact that I've been talking with scientific dictatorship for so long, Dr. D, I could appreciate you for helping me to keep my sanity.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what I'm saying. So, you know,
yeah, don't let this stuff get that much to you because
and so,
you have to have a positive outlook at the end of it. Like I got, I'll tell you,
I have two daughters, that's my positive outlook.
Let me just say this, 52. I got a little bit down last year when I looked at all the stuff that was happening. But I think with my reflection and turning to God, he said there's some things that you have to leave to me.
Revelation.
Right? And you got to just leave it to me. And I think since I've kind of taken that approach, I've actually seen a lot of great things are happening. And I do see light at the end of the tunnel. And we just have to go through some things sometimes for us to learn and to develop as human beings. Okay, I think you might be gone. But yeah, you know, thank you. We always appreciate your enthusiasm. And I think the caller before appreciated as well. Even though, you know, some of these things, like we say, our expressions, our thoughts, bringing these things across may trample a little bit of feelings on certain things. But I think overall concept is to inspire people to think for themselves, to learn and to use information for the improvement of your life. And I think that is extremely important as we try to be the best human beings that we can be and to deal with what's in front of us. But it's very important for us to be aware of what's happening in our world and our circumstances. And I think we were all just very, very comfortable. And this was just one of those things to shake us all up. I think we're all awake. And I think the whole point from now on is going to be to never let this happen kind of again. I mean, I think you said that again and again at points in history, but if we look at history, there's always kind of this crescendo, decrescendo type of thing happening. And I think we had a really, really long run of not having anything extreme. And this is our extreme, right? It was like a bad dream and we hope to get out of it. So just to kind of finish off, just some of the points for vitamin C and just quickly get in there. My one other thing that I think is really, really essential. So you have vitamin C also helps prevent iron deficiency. We'll go through these pretty quickly. Of course, the big one that I wanted to talk about, vitamin C boosting your immune system. And it affects so many different parts of your immune system. And it helps in the encouragement and the production of your white blood cells, alone as your leukocytes and your phagocytes, which help to protect your body against infection. So some people say, well, you know, I'm catching the cold, so I took a bunch of vitamin C. First, it doesn't really work or, you know, whatever. I believe that you have to take higher doses. And I think it's something you need to incorporate throughout and not really just try to take a bunch of vitamin C maybe before or when you're already feeling sick. So part of your regular regimen. And for those of you who can't tolerate vitamin C all the time, you know, you try to get it naturally as well in your diet. And then of course you've got IV vitamin C. It also helps with the white blood cell function. And is effective from protection against damage or potential harm of molecules and free radicals. Protects your memory, your thinking as you age, so really good for memory. So if you're into wellness and keeping your mind, we have a lot of dementia in this country. So I would have vitamin D definitely as a supplement to deter against that. And there's a lot of unproven claims as well. But there's a lot of research going into vitamin C's effects with cancer, eye disease, and other things as well. So finally, I just want to get this in here in the last few minutes. One of my favorite products, glutathione, which is also produced naturally inside the body. It is a natural antioxidant produced in the liver. I call this the detoxer, the natural detoxer, because this pretty much goes through all your cells. It's just really, really awesome. I like to use it in conjunction with vitamin C. So I do IV vitamin C and glutathione. Very, very good combination. And it's very powerful antioxidant. And it's made up of some natural amino acids that are built up in your body, glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. And these together at particular levels are really, really good for your body. It's great for environmental toxins. It's great for dealing with stress, but it can be reduced by these things. So what happens usually is when you have chronic inflammation or chronic stress, your glutathione in your body, those levels become low. And that's when you are affected by these things. So I believe in boosting those levels to bring them up. Great to reduce oxidative stress. It's been proven to be helpful with persons in psoriasis in various small studies. It reduces cell damage in alcoholic and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Of course, like I said, glutathione is produced in the liver, so higher doses of that are really, really effective there. And there have been some small studies on that as well. It improves your insulin resistance in older individuals. So it's really, really great for our diabetics. If you are having problems controlling your diabetes, this is also kind of an adjunct that may be helpful in persons with insulin sensitivity or lack of insulin sensitivity and insulin resistance. So a study found that low glutathione levels were associated with less fat burning and higher rates of fat storing in the body. And so as you can see, it's quite related to some of the risk factors of our chronic diseases, such as diabetes and hypertension. It's also really good in people with peripheral artery disease. So if you're having problems with mobility, pain in the legs, and any peripheral artery disease problems, glutathione is really good for that as well, because it helps with the peripheral arteries and the clots that might be there. So it may be a good adjuvant to the therapy that you're on. And of course, you speak to your doctor about all of these things. Reduces symptoms of Parkinson's disease in one study. And it also helped with persons with autoimmune diseases. So rheumatoid arthritis, celiac disease, persons with lupus, glutathione helped reduce oxidative stress, either by stimulating or reducing the body's immunological response. So really great in those persons with autoimmune diseases, especially even the ones that attack mitochondria. Glutathione works to protect cell mitochondria by eliminating the free radicals. It also may reduce oxidative damage in children with autism, so it might be a supplement that would be good in those children as well. Reducing the impacts of uncontrolled diabetes. So if you've had diabetes for a while and you're ready to get all of that together, it might be helpful in that as well. And also reducing respiratory disease symptoms. Hence why I tend to use vitamin C and glutathione together healthily, and especially with people who had COVID or even to boost their immune system. So I hope those are helpful. If you want to know more information, you can check our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com, or give us a call, 326-1521, WhatsApp 429-4880. And thank you for everyone, you know, joining me for another exciting show. I think we're going to do some topics as well at looking at natural sources here in the Bahamas for some of these things and how we can incorporate them into our lifestyle and our diets. So I'll see you all next week for another exciting show. I'm Dr. D. Archer. Thank you for listening in. Good night.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.